What is up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Solomon Lee at Solomon Lee NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker at Do Not on Twitter. How you doing, Forrest?
Hey, it's the winter season. It's everyone's favorite time, the winter break. It's a warm, balmy time here in Texas, and the Rockets aren't losers.
No, they're not. They are a winning team this season. It is a much more enjoyable watch for multiple reasons. I want to talk about one thing today, but I feel like it's going to connect to everything, right?
Sure.
It is such a central topic for Rockets fans. I just spent almost half of the last podcast talking about it, but it's not just that he's in a slump, which of course he's in a slump. Everybody knows that. Jalen knows that. It's that when he's not making shots, he is so ineffective as a basketball player. Like, that is so central to his sell, right? Coming out of the draft, as a prospect moving forward, it's everything for him. When he is not scoring, he is, I don't want to say useless, but much less useful than your average NBA starter. And you look at a guy like Tari Eason, who is not that kind of player. He played 25 minutes tonight. His minutes are on the upswing. He is infinitely useful. This is scary territory for us. I didn't think we'd get to this point in year three. I got to be honest, I didn't see this as an outcome.
Well, things change fast in the NBA and in sports in general. I mean, I've listened to you talking about this, so I know where you're at with Jalen in general, which is that he's still pretty young. You know, these kind of guys oftentimes take a while to figure it out. But it is pretty remarkable that he seems to be doing the opposite of figuring it out this year. Like, I feel like he was better earlier in the season than he is now.
Yeah.
And it is, it's very worrisome. I usually have a kind of like a team-first perspective, I guess, so I'm not as pressed about it because, I don't know, it always struck me that, like, they're drafting a whole bunch of guys. Some of them are going to work out, some of them are not. It's a little surprising that Jalen is not working out as much as he's not working out right now. I feel like patience would probably be good, but also I don't know how much patience they can have.
Can we backtrack? Because you did say something that I thought was interesting, right? You said they took all these picks, and of course some of these weren't going to work out, right? Like, the Rockets even knew this. This is why they collected so many and were willing to draft so many. But it is surprising that Jalen in particular is not working out. Going back to 2021, even on draft night, I felt like Jalen was like a more sure thing to be an all-star player than like a lot of players in that draft. Like, even like, I was a Mobley guy. I thought Jalen was a more sure bet to make an all-star game than Evan Mobley. Like, that's how like confident I was that this guy was going to work out, but I didn't think, you know, the upside was sky high, you know, as I did with Mobley or Barnes or, you know, these other guys, right? Not Barnes, Suggs, more specifically, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, the thing about Jalen is that in order to be an all-star type of player, he has so many tools, right? He has so many physical tools in particular. Like, he can really move on the court in a way that very few guys can, but he just, you are betting on, if he can just hit his shots, then he's going to be something special. And that's really the crux of it, right? The, like, yeah, if he can hit his shots, he can do so much stuff, but he can't hit his shots. Like, this year, he's just not hitting his shots. And that's really what it comes down to, that, like, once he can't hit his shots, they don't have to respect him outside. He's unable to finish as well lately, which is a problem. Like, he can do all the stuff, but he can't make the ball go in the hole, which is pretty much the point of the whole thing. And it's the point of a player, like, in his archetype in particular. And so, like, I mean, there's tons of talk right now about this Rockets team, and what they really need is a Jalen Green who can do Jalen Green things. They need him, but scoring is what they need in their starting lineup. And if he can't be scoring, then he's not him. And then I don't know what you do about that, apart from the two big options of, I don't know, I guess you keep giving him time and see if he can figure it out, or you just say, well, we're kind of good, so we can't do this anymore, so we're going to move someone else into the starting lineup, whoever it may be.
Okay, so lot to touch on there. So you said if he can start making his shots, he's going to be something special. In your opinion, what is that something special? Like, what is the best version of this archetype?
I mean, the best runner's archetype is probably like a Bradley Beal type, right? Like, he just goes out there, he gets buckets.
Is that something special, though? Like, I don't want to press
special enough.
Yeah, I don't want
to. I mean, special enough to get in an All-Star game,
It's a very good player. It's a very good player, right? But the reason I was lower on this, on Jaylen specifically, it's not that I didn't think that he couldn't become that. It's just I didn't view that as that special, even if it were, if it ended up being that. Like, I didn't think that was a best player in championship team archetype. And, like,
no,
that's why, like, it's okay if this doesn't work out for the Rockets, but it's kind of disastrous for the front office because they used the second overall pick on him. I mean, I don't know. Actually, maybe it won't be. Maybe it's not disastrous for the front office because so many other things have worked out. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a weird place to be in. It's such a weird place to be in.
I mean, as bad as Jaylen has been, Jabari Smith Jr. has been that good, right? Like, they have a lot of hit. Alperen Şengün looks incredible. Jabari Smith Jr. looks like a million miles better than he looked like he was going to be last year. Amen and Cam Whitmore show real promise. Tari Eason is legitimately going to be on that team for like a decade. They've drafted really well. It's just that the one guy that doesn't seem to be hitting now is the one guy who seemed like he was the most for sure of the guys. So it is a huge problem for Jaylen. He, of all the people out there that this is affecting, number one, him. So I feel bad for him in that sense. Like, I hope it works out for him. I like him as a person. I like him as a player. And only good things happen if he starts to turn this corner. But if he doesn't turn the corner, the Rockets aren't really too badly off. Like, they're better off if he works out well. If he pans out, fantastic. They're sitting incredibly pretty. But if he doesn't, they have other things they can do.
So, are you surprised that Ime has the kind of rope to do this? Like because it really is surprising to me that, I mean, like, at every step of the process since Ime got the job, the amount of pull that he seems to have has been surprising to me. Like, and this in particular, like, this was not even like if I had a whiteboard with all the possibilities for the Rockets this season, Jalen Green sitting multiple fourth quarters in a row was not on it. Flat out, not on it.
I think it makes sense, but you have to come at it from like a who is running the Rockets standpoint to me, which is to say the Fertitta family. I mean, Tillman Fertitta is going to be like, oh, we're winning now? Cool. Like, I think that I'm sure Ime Udoka made a great impression in the room because he is good at that. He's a persuasive and charming person, right? I'm sure he was immediately convincing. He has a really good resume apart from that one thing, but doesn't have anything with basketball really. And he immediately comes in and the team is good. He has bought himself a lot of rope, I think, with with someone like Tillman, who is and the Fertitta family, who are like pretty hard-nosed operators. You know, they see this change over to winning and they're gonna be like, cool, you've earned our trust on this. Like, that's my read. I mean, I might be just like making stuff up completely, but that's my read, is that this is an organization that will respect when you talk a big game, then come up and back up that big game you talked. The fact that they are winning games, I think Ime Udoka has bought himself quite a lot of leeway.
Don't get me wrong, like, this is not me saying Ime's doing anything wrong. It's just that I'm surprised Ime's able to do it. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, it's not that I disagree with... I mean, hell, like, this is Alperen Şengün's season, right? Like, I'm not complaining at all, right? But it's the idea that this is... I mean, a lot of people view Jalen Green to be like Rafael Stone's like prized draft pick, right? In a lot of ways, the organization kind of bended to his will up until this point, right? Jalen specifically, right? The guys they targeted in free agency, it seemed not like mentors for Alperen Şengün. They were mentors for Jalen Green, it felt like, right? You know, mentors, they were meant to be mentors for all the young guys, but I mean, Jalen's on all the posters, man. Like,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that Jalen is the guy who's on the posters. He's the guy who gets on commercials. Like, he's the guy that your uncle has heard of on the Rockets. And he's not the best player on the team. He's not the second best player on the team. He's not even the third best player on the team. He's like, right now, he's like the 10th best player on the team. And that's a pretty wild swing. Like, and I don't know what's the wilder thing that everybody latched onto him so immediately. Which, like, I guess he's the kind of guy people are going to latch onto. He showed a lot of promise, like, in college, for sure, and being drafted so high. But it is kind of funny that everyone's like, oh, this is the guy. He's like a Kobe type or whatever it is they thought about him, right? And then, if this is how it's going to keep going, that the dude who is the face of the franchise is not the face of the franchise. Like, it's weird that we're in this internecine period where he is the most famous guy, and the Rockets are like, he sucks, we're just going to bench him. Like, they're not saying, like, oh, but he's like the guy on all the posters, we got to keep him out there. Ime's like, no, he's a liability in fourth quarter crunch time minutes.
Yeah, I got to take some accountability here. I never at any point acknowledged, like, the floor for Jalen Green, because I just never thought that was I didn't think that was a high probability. I thought he was going to hit his median outcome, which was like a Zach LaVine type all-star, right? I just assumed that was like an inevitability. I bought into Jalen, right? Like, in a lot of ways, I am kind of still bought into Jalen. Maybe not as, you know, fervently as I was like 2 weeks ago, right? But like, I still think he's going to be a good NBA player with a long career, which is, you know, I mean, sure, of course, like anyone with his physical profile and like ball handling ability, obviously they're probably gonna have that. But so it's not saying much. But going back to like his floor is like a Jordan Clarkson, and I've never said that on this podcast, right? And that, because it's a scary proposition, right? But like, when you're not efficient and when you're not like particularly like strong defensively, like, to make up for your inefficiency, that's kind of what your floor is as this player archetype. And if that's what he is, like, listen, like, benching him is the right move. And not only is benching him the right move, we're talking that might be just the start of things, right, for the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what he is, then probably trading him is the right move.
Yeah.
And just finding who's going to be there long term sooner rather than later. And I do think that they shouldn't. I do think you still have to give him some time.
That's where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't just chuck him out immediately, because it's a bad few weeks. Players have those. But he's looked kind of like, the problem is it's part of a pattern that, like, in his rookie season, he was good, not great. And then his sophomore season, he was like a little better. But he kind of the end of his first season and the start of his second season were really good. But he's been kind of underwhelming before and after that. And this whole season, so ever since like about a third of the way into the last season, it hasn't been great. And it's been like a slow deterioration.
Really at the end of that first preseason last year. Like, preseason, he killed it last year. Where it was like, oh, like, I think I had a podcast with Craig Ackerman. I'm like, is he like a superstar? Am I underselling him? Have I been underselling him the entire time? And the season starts and that just goes away, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that with him. Like, it is so hot and cold. Like, it is so hot and cold. It is so dependent on the shooting. That drives everything for him. It seems to drive his finishing at the basket. It seems to drive how frequently he gets to the basket. I don't think it's, I don't want to say it's a confidence thing, because again, the guy is supremely confident, but it's very much a rhythm thing. He is such a rhythmic player. So when there is no rhythm, when there is no flow to his game, when there is no pop, it's just flat. And just flat is like a bench player.
Well, it's not helping anything. I mean, he will presumably be more effective as a bench player against, like, you know, lesser defenders, but I guess, you know, allegedly they're not thinking about David talks. It's funny that, you know, they ask Udoka, well, we're not talking about it. No, come on. Y'all talk about everything behind there. What's funny about people asking Ime Udoka if they're thinking about benching Jalen Green is thinking he wouldn't answer no.
Wait, did that happen tonight? He got asked about that?
Yeah, it happened tonight. Yeah, he got asked about it, and he was like, no, we haven't thought about benching him, which, you know, they've considered everything. They're a smart office full of coaches. They've thought of everything. Even ask that question?
No.
But
if that thought didn't cross his mind, like that's just straight horseshit.
Well, he can't see it. He can't say yes. He's not going to say yes, but yes, he's obviously thought about it. Clearly. Well, he says they have to consider it. So, but yes, they've obviously considered it, and they'll consider it more going forward, unless he turns around. I don't think they're about to bench him, like, tomorrow or whatever. I think you're right that it's gonna, if this keeps up for another like couple of weeks, then probably yeah, but he's gonna have a little more, he's gonna have a few more chances to like show something, I think, and hopefully for him he can, but yeah. If they bench him like two games after he says that, it would look pretty bad, but that hadn't stopped him before. I mean, he says to make shots. Yeah. I mean, not that long. Yeah, I mean, something's got to give. If he's playing like 15 and 20 minutes a game, then yeah, within a couple of weeks, they got to move into the bench. They got to bring like, you know, like Tari Eason or someone up for him, because Tari's closing games, man, and for good reason. Yeah. And like, what's the difference too? Like at that point when you're like, oh well, we trust him to be a starter, but we don't trust him to play when it matters. Like it's very like not playing him in crunch time shows that you do not trust him as a player. He does not have starting caliber credibility on the team for obvious reasons. And like, I don't know if that's if indeed part of the problem is like him being shaken by this. How's that gonna help? Right, like this way, like, oh well, you can have a starter spot because you know you're pretty famous. Like, is that really gonna help his confidence out? I don't know. I hope he can get it together. I think his game is cool. I think he's a fun player, but he's not helping him win games right now. He's like something they have to plan around to figure out how they can like survive his minutes at this point, and that's really not good. Yeah. Well, what's happening is that they have to figure out if this guy is a guy. They have to figure out if he's someone who's going to be around the team long term. Is he part of the Rockets' next core? Is he a part of the future? Which so far, for like the 3.5 years they've been 3-ish, I guess, because like two halves, whatever. In the years they've been doing this rebuild, they've had the luxury so far of not having to know yet whether these guys are going to be a guy for the team long term. But now, because the team looks like it's worth the paper they're printed on, because they're actually winning games, because Şengün has come out and showed himself to be an all-star caliber player, if not better than that going forward, because they have real promise with Jabari Smith Jr., because they have a solid role player at worst in Tari Eason, the timetable's changed. Right, like if the team wasn't good this year, they could still have more of that like wiggle room to say, well, we're still figuring it out. But like, the bell has rung; they have to figure it out now. So that has put a clock on Jalen Green. They have to figure out whether they're keeping him or not. He's due for an extension at the end of the year. They have to pick if they're going to extend him or not. They let him go to restricted free agency. They have to make these decisions. They have to know. And that's all there is to it. Like, all these are just like steps on the way to figuring out if Jalen Green is a long-term Rocket or not. Is he worth having on the team long-term or not? And if he's not, then he's going to leave. They're going to either trade him or they're going to, you know, let him walk in free agency in a worst-case scenario. If he's not part of the future, he's not part of the future. And they can survive that, but they just have to figure it out. So it's kind of a get on or off the pot situation this year for Jalen Green, unfortunately.
And we're back. For those of you who have been watching us on YouTube, we're very confused as to why we're both wearing different clothes and why I'm in a different location. My microphone cut off, actually straight up disconnected while I was recording. Forrest did not notice. I noticed while I was editing. It's strange that Whatever the case, the audio's lost.
Man.
Yeah, the audio's lost. I believe I'm lagging right now as I'm speaking. Hopefully this works out. Whatever the case, we left off talking about what's next. Jalen Green goes to the bench. What happens next? I think naturally people are gonna talk about trades, right, with Jalen Green. And I think a good place to start is, do you anticipate a trade happening this season before the trade deadline?
Only if he's truly god-awful. Like, only if it just looks like it's a lost cause and he just is abysmal for the rest of the season. So, I don't think that would happen this year. But it's potentially possible, but I think it's much more likely that if anything were to happen, it would be over the summer.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I always end up with this, right? It's like the teams that would be interested in Jalen Green at the February trade deadline, I fail to understand why they wouldn't be interested this summer, right? It's not like Jalen Green's the guy who's going to help you make a playoff push, right? Like, as of now, he is a young and developing player, and I'm assuming a young developing team is going to try and acquire him for cheap, right? That's what this would be. They're trying to make, like, similar to what the Rockets attempted to do with KPJ, right? Take advantage of a situation and bet on a talent. And I think with what's different about Jalen is obviously number 2 overall pick, teams less likely to give up on him this early. Also, not a character issue, doesn't seem to, you know, like, at least from what I'm watching, doesn't seem to really affect his body language, like that he's not playing as much game to game. He seems to still be up on the bench, clapping. KPJ threw a bowl of soup in a locker room. No, I'm getting my... That's J.R. Smith.
No, no, that was J.R. Smith, yeah.
KPJ got into a fight with his assistant coach. Yeah. So different circumstance, yeah. Right? Like, Jalen Green, not KPJ. And also, obviously, not the same caliber of... a much higher caliber of prospect than KPJ ever was. So there's going to be sensitivities there. And I just fail to see what the motivation would be to just do it so early. Like, again, not only for the Rockets, but for some other team. I don't know why a team would give more at the trade deadline versus at this summer. Because, again, not trying to make the playoffs. And also, his value's at a nadir. Why would the Rockets trade him so early? You know, that's kind of where I always end. Like if you're going to trade him while his value is at the very least mediocre, not rock bottom.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, they still have time to trade him even if things go bad. I mean, obviously they're going to want as much time this season as they can get to keep evaluating and to give him every possible opportunity to come out of this nosedive, which, thanks to us coming back around to record this again, he did look a little better.
Yeah.
Yesterday. You know, he hit some shots. So 20. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Not 8 for 25.
Not great.
You know?
Yeah. Like, better.
Like, yes. Better. Yeah. I mean, 55% true shooting is better than what he's shooting this season, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's an improvement and perhaps a sign that he's ready to break out of this malaise, and maybe give us a few more weeks and this whole conversation's moot because he is he's averaging like 27 points a game at that point or whatever, right? Like things change so quickly in the NBA. Things change so quickly for Jaylen his rookie year, right? That February stretch was amazing for him. And so if he hits a similar stretch this season, we're evaluating him differently as a prospect, teams are more likely to give you something in the offseason if that's when you planned on making the trade. And it just works out better for everyone, right? Like, I think even Jaylen, it works out better for him because you're not in a situation where you're entering a team playing like crap, right? And you a brand new team playing like crap.
So, what if he continues to be, like, fits and starts? Like, what if he's better for a bit, right? Like, he's shooting is on the uptick, he gets better. What if it's, like, every couple of months he's, like, a different player? Like, because honestly, it's sort of what we've seen through his first couple of years, right? That, like, he goes through bad stretches and good stretches. And my question is, like, what if that's Jaylen Green? What if Jaylen Green is, like, really good sometimes and, like, really bad sometimes? What if he's just very streaky?
Yeah, it's possible, and if that's the case, I mean, then the Rockets may just have to trade him because he's not good enough, right? Which is different than he's not good, right? Like, I think it may be a situation where you might be able to trade him in consolidation type trade, which is not what we're talking about, by the way. Like, trading Jaylen at this trade deadline is not a consolidation trade. You're trading him.
No, that's an oh crap trade.
That's a let me get what I can trade, right? So, but if you wait and maybe he's not good enough, but he's good, he's streaky. Like that's Zach LaVine, by the way. Like, what you're describing is Zach LaVine. Like, Zach LaVine does that.
Yeah.
So, the most common comp for him, right? And so, like, if he is that, and let's say the Rockets decide we need something better than that to drive the offense from the perimeter, perhaps from within, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, those are your options there, you know, to kind of explore, or from outside, right? You go trade in a consolidation type trade, then you can do that at next year's trade deadline, frankly. Like, that'll be open for you then too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I said this on the show that's already been recorded or on the Phantom part, but they do need the luxury of time. Like, the improvement of the Rockets means that their time luxury has vanished somewhat. And anything, like, him even being streaky would at least give them some breathing room to, like, try to figure it out a bit longer.
Can I flip this? I'm sorry, but, like...
Sure.
Because don't they have somewhat more luxury because they have other players going off, right? Like, because they have other players that they can lean on to be franchise caliber players?
Yes, but I think that Jaylen is such a, like, a marquee-ish player for them that the pressure is still kind of there. They have to figure out where he's going to be sooner rather than later.
Market
pressure. For his sake, market pressure. Yeah, because yeah, if he wasn't like the guy on the posters, they could be like, well, you know, we'll just sit on this for a while and like see if a solution presents itself. But like a guy who's on all the posters, you have to figure out what you're doing with him, especially once like they can't afford to have him be one of their guys if he's going to keep playing this way. So hopefully he keeps improving. I mean, the best case scenario obviously is that he keeps improving and he starts looking like how he looked during the start of last season. You know, he starts looking closer how he looked toward the start of this season and becomes a legitimate contributor to the team, and then they don't have to worry about it. Then it solves itself, but I don't think you can count on that.
I am also reminded of when, you know, we all knew for a while that DeMar DeRozan wasn't good enough, right, in Toronto to be one of your lead guys. And Masai was like, you know what, like, we have no better options right now. We're just going to keep waiting and waiting, and then an opportunity presented itself in Kawhi Leonard. And then he was willing to do it, right? And perhaps that's the play here, right? Until you find something better, keep your hand, right? That's you know, if you're a Rockets fan, like that may not be sexy, right? Like that may not be something that's appetizing for you, right? Like just sitting through the rough stretches of Jalen Green, or sitting through the not good enough stretches of Jalen Green, but it is, in a lot of ways, the smart play, right? If you don't have another franchise caliber player to slot alongside Alperen Şengün, I would just roll with the might be an all-star caliber guy in Jalen Green. Oh, and we'll see if he is that guy, and you know, until you find that guy, right? Like that's kind of where I'm at. That's why I've always been like, even after like that, The stuff with Ime benching him in the fourth quarters has gotten me to a point where I'm at least willing to entertain it a little bit more. But that's why I've always kind of soft-pedaled it. I've always had my foot on the brakes there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that, like, roster-wise, they do have the luxury of soft-playing this a little bit. And I think that they'll... I mean, I do think it's very unlikely they do anything beyond benching him before the end of this season. Like, if you're going to... You can't just come out of the rotation entirely. Like, that would be a truly wild decision. You have to at least give him some minutes here and there. And I think that, like, as we spoke on, that he's probably going to stay the starter for a while, even if he isn't playing crunch time minutes, even if his minutes keep going down. But I am kind of amused at the idea of, like, oh, yeah, he's playing 10 minutes a game, but he does start.
So. Yeah, I mean, that. I hope we don't get to that point. And also... you know, you mentioned you're not sure if you said this on the Phantom podcast or the real podcast. Same here. I'm about to make a point. Not sure if I said it on the real one. you know, you can keep that bullet in the chamber, right? But like that's the other thing, right? You have another step before you get to trading him, which is benching him, right? Like that's the other reason I can't see it happening now. It's that you have another course of you know, another recourse, right? It's like firing a coach versus firing the general manager, or actually making like a massive trade, right? Like let's fire the coach first, see if another voice makes a difference, and then we can blow it up / make a major trade.
It's I wonder also if, well, all right, the super hopeful voice is that, well, there's been something going around the locker room in the Rockets. In the locker room, just had a bug, as it were, which has also been going around everywhere. RSV is everywhere. They have to hope, like, well, maybe he's just had like a 4-week long case of RSV, which is not uncommon, and he's feeling better and he's gonna like return to form somewhat as this clears up. Now, that's wish casting, but they have been sick, so it is possible. Like that combined with him looking a little better last night, hopefully, then like he can pull it together. I mean, Şengün looked terrible for a couple games, and then he pulled it around, and that seemed pretty likely to be having, you know, RSV or whatever related. So there's some hope there. I don't want to tell Rockets fans to give up on Jalen Green. You know, there's a lot of reasons to think that we don't need to give up on Jalen Green, and there's very good reasons to hope that we don't have to. But it's possible. I think it's something that we said a bunch during the Phantom Pod, which is that don't get too attached to anybody during these rebuilding years. Until the core is ironclad, locked in, you don't know who's going to be on that team or not going forward.
Right. And, you know, I want to ask you a straight-up question. do you believe there's anyone on the core in the Rockets core other than let's say Şengün and Jabari? You can't say those. Do you believe Amen, Cam, or maybe even Tari? Do you believe those are better basketball prospects than Jalen Green right now?
I think that the expected value of all three of them, I'd say, is higher than Jalen right now, if that makes sense.
The most realistic outcome for all three of them, you're saying?
Yeah, I think the average of all the outcomes of them or whatever, right? Like, what I would think they're going to be, right? Because, like, all of them have really high upside. I mean, Jalen has extremely high upside. Like, if this is just, like, a slump he's going to get over, he can still be, like, an all-star level player. But the problem is he has more years of experience, so we've seen more of him, and the slump is a bad data point, right? Like, Eason's ceiling is not as high as Jalen's, like, not even close. But the reality of him is currently a lot better. And then Thompson and Whitmore are both extremely tantalizing prospects. Their ceilings are very high. Their floors... their floors are like, not... They have a wide range, is what I'll say. They have a very large range of possibility of what they could be.
Particularly men with the jump shot. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But they don't have, like... They don't have, like, the red flags yet. And that's probably just... that may be a matter of time, you know? What are they going to look like in year three? We're, like, 2 years away from knowing what that's going to be. So, they're kind of getting a pass because they're so young and have played so little. So, we'll see. But right now, I would say that, like, they both probably have more upside because they haven't been, like, surprisingly bad for a month and a half or whatever. They don't have that going against them. But, you know, once again, all this can change very quickly.
No, yeah, for sure. Let's say the Rockets they buck what is conventional wisdom, which is they don't trade Jalen, and they actually do trade Jalen at the February trade deadline. What kind of return, in your opinion, makes it worth it? Because I've heard frequently tossed around two first round picks, right, or good player X, right? What to you is a return that is worthwhile in being that rash?
I mean, you're going to have to give up something, right? Because they can't afford to, like, invest solely in the future anymore. They're past that point. So draft picks are not bad, but they need something with an expectation that they're going to get a starting caliber player out of the deal. They need to get, like, a decent starting caliber player out of the deal. Either get that guy straight up and make sure he's, you know, they're not gonna want to take back a guy who's like 30. They're gonna try for a guy who's like in, like, you know, 26 or 27 or younger than that. Like, that's like at the outset. Like, you don't, you know, anybody who's like older than Jayshon Tate is gonna be like out the window. Yeah. So they're gonna either want that guy right now, they're gonna slot into lineup, which if they are gonna trade him, that's obviously the number one thing you want, or they want like a package of stuff that is the expected value is going to be that, and it's going to be that, like, kind of quick. But I think it'd take more to get them. Trade assets are going to be, like, less valuable to them. Like, they're going to be giving up trade assets, most likely, in this deal. They'd rather give away, like, some Nets picks or something and get, like, a guy who can contribute now.
But the two first-round picks thing, the reason it's unappealing for me, it's just, like, you have so many young players that you can't even play right now, right? So unless you're confident you're going to trade those first rounders right away for something, right? Like a real something. I don't see that. Like, especially if you're getting a first round pick that's conveys this year, hell no. Like, you're telling me I gotta add the Brooklyn pick and whatever this pick is onto the roster. I can't even get a Men and Cam to play when everybody's healthy. Like, I don't see any incentive for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, honestly, it's likely they're going to make a trade at deadline either way, because, like, these are issues that they're going to have an easier time just alleviating than letting continue on. So, like, hopefully Jalen's not involved, because if he's involved, that means he's been total dog water in the interim. But I think I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Rockets, like, move Oladipo, you know, in conjunction with one or two other contracts and move some picks to try to get someone who can contribute. You know, have fewer guys on the roster, get someone who can contribute, and have more room available, like you said, Whitmore and Thompson, to actually spread their wings a little bit.
Yeah, it is some food for thought. It's just some food for thought. Like, again, if you're asking me, put a gun to my head. I think he's not getting traded this year. I think he's not getting benched in the next few games. Sorry, like I think I'm not taking off the possibility that it happens within the next 10 games, though. Like I really do. Like Ime's, I look at Jalen's minute trend, and yeah, he might have got a nice pop here, but it's consistently trending downwards, right? Yeah. And like I think I see only one way this goes. I don't care what Ime said at that press conference. It was surprising that he said it. I still think when push comes to shove, he wants to play his best players. He wants to start his best players, and right now Jalen's not. And we'll see if that continues, but.
No.
If this continues, I can guarantee you he's not going to start.
Well, and not a ton of defense in that Phoenix game either. Hey, no. That Phoenix game does go back to what I was saying about, which I think all got obviated, all got oblivioned about Rockets defense having a hard time against guys who just like go out there and one-on-one create a shot for themselves.
Yeah,
they were unable to. They couldn't corral the Suns. They couldn't corral the Hawks. They couldn't corral the Pacers, and they couldn't corral the Bucks or the Cavs. All of whom have guys who are just going to go out there and shoot. So that's something to look out for. That their defense can work on. As good as their defense has been, there is room for improvement, and they should try to improve into that room.
And 3-point defense is a room for improvement there, because if you look at 3-pointers allowed, they're actually not that great. And the 3-point shooting luck is starting to go back to normal. You're starting to see teams have these outlier shooting performances against you. It's like, oh, what's going on? Why are all these teams getting so lucky against the Rockets? It's like, actually, the Rockets have been getting really lucky the other way the entire season, and now it's like course-correcting back to normal. That stuff's going on. But in any case, Forrest, I'm glad we got the chance to finish this episode. Please tell the people where we can follow you on Twitter.
At Dunots, DUNOTS, same as ever.
Thank you so much for coming on. If you guys enjoy the show, please subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter, at SomaliNBA. Follow the show on Twitter, at RedNationHoops. Obviously, support our sponsors. And give us 5 stars on iTunes, because that helps people find the show in the iTunes algorithm. I believe that's still the case. It's the Apple Podcast algorithm. I forgot that they changed that 2 years ago. But yeah, Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Apple. And wherever you listen to shows, Spotify, whatever the hell, give us 5 stars there. All right, guys. Thanks.